Well, I'm curious this morning if you have ever encountered an emoji that you didn't quite know what it meant, or you were maybe misunderstood, or it was confusing as to what it was trying to communicate. Listen, I think emojis are interesting because they are symbols that have really become a part of most of our lives. And whether it was something that was sent to you or something you may have seen somewhere that was confusing, I think sometimes they may miss the mark, or we may not clearly understand. And so I wanted to show you some that I think are abundantly clear, right? Like this one, there's no misunderstanding that. We kind of know exactly what that's trying to communicate. Or one like this, yeah, we know exactly what that is trying to say. Yeah, in the years working with teenagers and college students, I've come to realize that there are some emojis that I don't understand, or more embarrassingly, that I have used trying to communicate something when they really mean something else. And one of the ones that came up fairly recently was this, and I'll just put them both up there for you. You see, to me and for my whole life, really, these have just meant the same thing to me. And I think when I decide to tell somebody that I'm laughing, I love to laugh. And so I always pick the one on the left because I'm like, I want them to know I'm like loving to laugh. I'm really laughing hard right now. And so I use it all the time. And a couple of weeks ago, I was talking with our college students about this and emojis. And we're kind of talking and said, hey, we kind of wanted to tell you, like every time you use this emoji a lot. And they said, we want you to know that it doesn't mean the same thing to us that this one does. It's like, what, really? And they're like, yeah, like the one on the right means laughing. Like you're laughing at something I said, a joke. They go, the one on the left, that means you're sarcastically laughing at me. And I was like, what? I don't see it at all. But they were all like, yeah. I'm like, we didn't know what to, like, you send it to us and we're just like, I think he means something else. And I was like, my bad. Like, I've been using that for years, and I don't know if everyone else thinks that way, but this group that I meet with a lot, they're like, yeah, you're just sarcastically laughing at us. But I think it's interesting that these emojis are symbols that have become a part of our everyday life, and we use symbols a lot. But I want you to know this morning that even in our faith, as followers of Jesus, there are important symbols as well, and two very important ones that I want to talk about. And they are baptism and the Lord's Supper. And these next 2 weeks, as we practice these two together as a church, baptism today, or the idea was today, and the Lord's Supper next week, we want to be clear. We don't want to make that mistake of misunderstanding, of something being lost in the shuffle, or something to be confusing. With these two very important symbols, we want to make sure that they are clear because their meaning is very important. And so today we want to talk a little bit about baptism. And if maybe this morning, if you're honest, you've never quite understood baptism or what it means. Why we talk about it all the time. What's the purpose of the water and getting wet and all these things? Like, what is the whole fuss about? Or maybe this morning you have been baptized, but you could use a reminder. You could use a reminder of the truth of baptism, of what those who are baptized are proclaiming is true about themselves, is true about you, and is true about the Jesus that you follow. And so this morning I want to be clear on baptism and attempt to be clear, because in some Christian circles, I don't know if you know this or not, but in some Christian circles, some view baptism as insignificant. That it's something that doesn't really matter, that it wasn't really something that we should do, or it's not as important. And there are others that view it as indispensable, that baptism is essential to your salvation, that you have to be baptized in order for your identity to be changed as a follower of Jesus. Even in my own life, baptism has transformed in its meaning. You see, I was baptized as an infant in the Catholic Church. And I was baptized at 19 years old after I really understood who Jesus was, gave my life to him, and understood that that was my next step. And so with all these thoughts out there of what it really is, this morning I just want to help clarify and bring some focus as to what we believe baptism is and the role that it plays in the life of a believer. And so here's what I want you to know. Baptism is neither insignificant nor indispensable, but it is extraordinarily important. If you want to know what does the Bible have to say about baptism, one thing it is very clear on is that baptism is important. It's so important that Jesus even included it in his Great Commission, which was some of his final instructions to his followers. And I want to read them to you this morning. This is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. You see, right before Jesus left, he gave these final instructions to his followers, and here's what he told them. He said, Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. In that passage right there and in his instructions, really there are three things Jesus wants us to do: to reach people, to baptize them, and to teach them who Jesus was. And so we see that baptism really is that significant. It was one of the three things Jesus commanded us to do. And so I want us to see this morning that not only is it important for us to do, but its meaning is also significant. And we see it clearly laid out for us this morning in Romans chapter 6. So if you have a Bible this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 6? Romans is the New Testament part of your Bible. There are the four accounts of Jesus' life, the Gospels, then the book of Acts, and then Romans. This letter was written by the Apostle Paul, who's an early church leader and planter, and he's writing this letter to the church in Rome, which is why it's called Romans. So Romans chapter 6, verse 1, Paul will describe the purpose and meaning of baptism. So here's what it says. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" And here's where he gets into baptism. "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." You may have seen a baptism performed here at Brazos Point at some point, and you may have seen or heard somebody say some words as the person is dunked under the water and comes back up and wondered, what is it that they're saying? Well, many of us say these very words found in this passage. Many of us say, "buried with Christ in baptism," as we lay someone into the water, and we say, "raised to walk in a new way of life," as they come out. And that comes directly from this passage. And so those very words and that passage is central to our understanding of baptism's importance and its significance. And yet, as I said earlier, there are many different practices and beliefs and thoughts and traditions in relation to baptism. So this morning, I want to give you a simple phrase to understand what we as a church believe about baptism and its significance and its interpretation in the Bible. And so write this in your notes. Our practice is believers' baptism by immersion. Believers' baptism by immersion. And we get that directly from this passage in Romans 6. Look again, the Apostle Paul starts by asking a great question. He essentially said, if we don't earn salvation by being good, then why be good? Another way to think about it is he says, if it is God's grace that cleans me up and not my own effort, then can I just continue to live the same life, living in sin? Now, I don't know if you've ever wondered that. I have. If Jesus has done all the work and what's moving forward, it's all dependent on him, then does that mean I have to change? Can I just continue to live this same life? And in the next verse, Paul clearly says, by no means. Essentially saying, no way. And why? The next thing he tells us, it's a matter of your identity. Your identity has changed. He says, if you are a follower of Jesus, you have died to sin. That is who you are now. And so you, as a follower of Jesus, are called to embrace your identity and die to sin. That is who you are now. Now, being dead to sin doesn't mean that you no longer want to sin. It doesn't mean that you no longer sin, if you know too well that that just is not true. But being dead to sin means that sin is no longer our master. It no longer has control over us. We have freedom from it. It no longer rules you. It no longer defines you. It no longer is your identity. You've been given a new purpose, a new life, and now you belong to Jesus. He's our master now. We serve him and we follow him. It's all about identity. When we discover God's grace and believe in Jesus, it says that we are transformed into new creations. New purpose, new identity, new lives, and a new heart, and a new master. And so the Apostle Paul's writing here, if that is true for you, then how could you continue to live as if sin was your master? It's not true anymore. And so not only are we, as followers of Jesus, the ones who are dead to sin, but Romans 6 goes on to say that we are also alive in Christ Jesus. And so you are called as a follower of Jesus not only to embrace your identity, to die to sin, but to embrace your identity and to come alive in Jesus. It says that we are buried with Christ in death, but we are also raised to walk in new life. That means that you have a new purpose. Your life is about something else now. You have a new identity that's not found in you or your accomplishments or your mistakes, but in who Jesus is, and you have new life and a clean slate. That is who you are now. That's what we believe, and this is who is baptized. We baptize those who have already believed, and we baptize those who that is true for, those who have already been transformed. Listen, this was huge for me to understand in my life. You see, I spent the first 18 years of my life growing up in a very different faith tradition where I never really read my Bible. I never really understood who Jesus was and what was true for me and the freedom that he was willing to give me. And I didn't understand all of those things as a baby when I was baptized. And so as the years went on, eventually when I was 19 years old, I just encountered a group of people who didn't want to tell me what to believe. They simply said, we want you to read your Bible, and we just want to ask you questions along the way and help you to see for yourself who Jesus is and what he's calling you to do. And as I began to read, I began to realize Jesus was really transforming me. And he wanted more than just a part of my life. He wanted all of my life. And as I trusted in him, I began to realize that my next step was baptism. And so there was a massive shift as this, I transformed my understanding of what baptism was, that baptism didn't clean me. It wasn't the act that made me new. Jesus did. Listen, I was baptized in a community pool at 19 years old, and I was baptized in that pool right after a large group of kids had just had swimming lessons. And so there was nothing holy about that water, if you know what I mean. It was just normal chlorine-filled water, but the act itself was important, and it was filled with truth, but it wasn't the water that was changing me. I had already been changed, and so I started to realize that baptism didn't forgive me or save me. Jesus did. Baptism didn't make me new. Jesus did. And it didn't matter where I was. It didn't matter if it was in a community pool, it was in the ocean, or if it was in a giant Yeti cooler over here. What was important was that I followed Jesus in obedience, and I proclaimed this truth of what had already occurred to me. As I realized that baptism was a demonstration of something that had already happened in my life, that was already true for me. Which is why we call it believers. Baptism. It's for those who have believed. It's for those who have been transformed already. And this is why we would not baptize someone who has not yet believed. It's why we would not baptize an infant or a child or an adolescent or an adult who has not been transformed and trusted Jesus. Trusting Jesus is a decision that you must make for yourself, and no one else can make that decision for you. And so baptism is important, but it's not only about demonstrating what's happened in me, it's also about demonstrating what you believe to be true about the Jesus that you follow. I'll go back to the simple phrase, believers baptism by immersion. Now, the immersion part is very important for identification, of identifying who you are and what you believe about Jesus. And here's what I mean. What does it mean to be immersed? Immersion. It means to be dipped under. It means to be dunked or completely covered. And in baptism, it means to be covered by water completely. Now, why is that important? Why is immersion different from being sprinkled by water? Well, here's why. Romans 6 says that we are buried with Jesus through baptism. into death. Burial is a key word here. When we are baptized and you go under the water, you are saying that you believe Jesus lived a perfect life, that he died and was laid to rest and laid in a tomb and buried, which is why it's important that you are covered in water. And when you come out of the water, you're saying, I believe Jesus didn't stay dead, but he came back to life. That's the Jesus that I follow. That's who I am claiming to follow. That's what he has done. And as clear as that is, also the word itself is important. The word baptize, found in the Bible. To better understand it, you have to understand the Greek language, the original language this was written in, Koine Greek. And the word baptize you see right there in your Bibles is the Greek word baptizo, which literally translates to immerse. And so as the Apostle Paul writes here, he writes baptizo twice and baptisma once. He's essentially saying to immerse, to immerse, to immerse. It was very clear what he was saying. And in the first century Greek-speaking world of Jesus' day and the Apostle Paul's day, everyone who saw this word would know exactly what it meant, that it meant to be immersed. And so why am I going so deep into the nitty-gritty details of the Greek language? It's because this symbol has meaning and it matters. And it's important for us to understand that when a follower of Jesus is dipped under the water, you are saying it's a picture of the death and burial of Jesus, and that he didn't stay dead and he came back to life, and it's his resurrection that is transforming us. And not only do we believe that Jesus lived, died, and was buried and came back to life, you're saying that you share in that, that the old you lived an old life and is now gone, laid to rest. There's a new you living a new purpose with a new identity and a new life. And so this is Jesus' command to us, that we are to be baptized after identifying and believing in him. And when we fail to understand and practice this, of this actual way that Jesus commanded us to, and when we fail to practice a full immersion or a baptizo baptism, it distorts the image and it distorts the truth of what we're proclaiming. And so here's the deal. Baptism is a symbol. It's a visible act that displays an invisible truth. It's an outward symbol that displays an inward story in you. And it's the same way that this wedding ring that I wear is a symbol of something that has already occurred. That this wedding ring tells you that I have bound my life to someone else, and it tells you that something happened previous to today. But this ring in itself doesn't make me married, right? If I lose it, still married, right? My wife may be a little displeased, but I'm still married. But this ring is a symbol, and it's meant to tell everyone of something that has already occurred in my life, something that's very important. And so the symbol is still important. And so in baptism is where you identify where your identity lies. In baptism, you identify and tell everyone where your identity lies. When you follow Jesus and you're baptized, you publicly identify with him. That's why we call it going public with your faith. That everyone who's there in his presence sees you saying to the world, here's who I am now, here's what Jesus has done in me, and here is who I am going to be moving forward. Your baptism is powerful because it takes Jesus' story and yours, and the two intersect, and it's a powerful way to tell the world what God has done in you and that you are different. And so being baptized isn't just to show your faith to everyone, but it's also for you a step of obedience, a step for you to take and to follow Jesus and the things that he commanded, because you and I live for him now. And so in baptism is also where you identify where your commitment lies. Here's the idea. As we surrender control of our lives to Jesus, we begin to follow him and we begin to say, Jesus, okay, if you commanded it, I'll do it. Whatever you say, I will do. Wherever you call me to go, I will follow. And as we begin to do that, obedience is us saying yes to Jesus. And baptism is a very important part of that. Listen, the reason I want to be bold and so direct is because I care about you and your development and growth with Jesus. And for so many of us, baptism is our first step of obedience after following Jesus. And there's a reality here that if we tell Jesus no to this command, then what else will we tell Jesus no to moving forward? If we're reluctant to take this step and to trust him, then what else down the line will we be reluctant to say yes to? If this is an area where we want to keep control, then our life following him will be full of moments where we fail to surrender all of our lives to him. So listen, this was a very new idea for me at 19 years old. So I read my Bible and I understood who Jesus was and I trusted him for the first time. I began to see my next step was baptism, and there were many things keeping me from taking that step. First of all, I was kind of embarrassed that the other one didn't count in some ways. I was embarrassed that I was older than a lot of the other people I was seeing get baptized. I also felt like maybe I might be disregarding or saying something to my family or my parents about the baptism that they chose for me at a young age. And growing up in the faith tradition that I grew up in, to step away from that was a very big deal culturally. And so there was lots of pressure and fear for me to come to them and say, here's who I am now, I'm following Jesus like this now, and here's what God's calling me to do. But eventually, it really just came down to obedience. Was I really going to trust Jesus with all of my life? Was I really going to say yes to identifying with him the way that he commanded me to? And so I went through with it. And before then, I remember I had to go to my parents and to tell them, hey, I'm following Jesus a different way now, and here's what that looks like. I feel like my next step is to be baptized again, and I'd love for you to come. But also, I remember just sitting down with them and asking them if they would trust me enough to just say, would you find a different church that teaches the Bible? Would you be willing to read the Bible for yourself? And let's just talk about it. And you just begin to actually open your life to say, Jesus, show us who you really are, and Jesus, show us how to follow you. And I remember they trusted me enough to do that, and I just saw Jesus begin to transform who they were. And they eventually came to the same conclusion that trusting Jesus was a lot simpler, that trusting Jesus brought freedom, and they gave control of every part of their lives to him, and eventually they identified that baptism was their next step as well. And I remember there were many things that, as they came to the same conclusion, that might have kept them from that moment, but they realized their next step was to publicly proclaim, here's who Jesus is, and here who he's making me to be, and here's what's true. And so in 2011, 10 years ago, I had the amazing privilege to baptize both of my parents. And this was a day I'll never forget. It was so cool to see my parents just trust Jesus enough, not only with their lives, but even through uncertainty, through embarrassment in some ways, as the roles were kind of reversed and I became a spiritual leader in our family. But I'll never forget just watching their humility and their trust and their obedience to say, even as we're older, we will still go public with our faith and we'll still trust Jesus, as they gave every part of their lives to him. And so that was a day that changed my life and really taught me many things as well. And it really is this simple. If you have not stepped over the line of faith and trusted Jesus, then do that today. Trust him. Follow him. He offers forgiveness. He offers peace. And he offers freedom for you and a new life, a new heart, and a new purpose. And if your answer is yes today, that you have stepped over the line of faith, then my question is, have you gone public with that faith? And have you follow through in believer's baptism like Jesus commands us to, after having understood what it means? If your answer is no, you haven't done that, then we would love to help you take that step. Our plan was to do beach baptism today, but we can do that any day. We would love to help you take that step, to talk with you through it, and to put it on the calendar somewhere. But I also want you to know this morning, if your story is similar to mine in any way, if maybe you were baptized as a baby or you had some part of your story group in a different faith tradition, I want you to know that to go public with your faith now does not disregard or throw away anything that your parents did for you then. My parents did that for me out of love. They didn't quite understand the truth of God's word, but they knew they wanted my life to be about something different, and they just wanted to love me and connect me to Jesus in some way, and that was their outlet. And so I want you to know, if that's your next step, and that's kind of maybe your story, I want you to know the same is true for you. It doesn't disregard anything your parents may have done or felt for you then. And if this morning if you say, yes, I've already done that, I've already been baptized, then I just want you to be reminded this morning of what is true for you. That when you gave your life to Jesus, not when you were baptized, but when you gave your life to him, you were transformed into a new creation, a new heart, a new purpose, an identity that does not depend on you any longer, but depends on Jesus. And so this morning, I just want you to know, when you go public with your faith in baptism, you are telling the world that you are different. You're telling the world that you no longer live for the world and you no longer live for yourself, but you live for Jesus. And so my question to you, you have a new identity and a new purpose, but does your life today reflect that? And if you feel like it doesn't, I just want to remind you of what is true. You've been made new. Sin no longer has control over you. Sin no longer rules over you, and it doesn't define you. You are free. And so do not forget who you are in Jesus. And with every baptism you witness from here on out, be a reminder of that. Every time you see somebody dunked under the water and come out and you celebrate, would you just be reminded, that's true for me even now. No matter where I find myself today, that is what is true and not what I feel. And so would we remember what Jesus has done and would we embrace our identity that Jesus has given us? Let's pray. God, I thank you for that reminder this morning that we really do celebrate in these moments of baptism, God, of what you have done. Not us, not our works, not our mistakes, but you. So God, I pray for those in the room, God, who feel like baptism might be their next step. God, would you give them the boldness and the courage to take that step? Allow them to connect with somebody, God, but would you remind them, God, that this is a step of obedience, and would they trust you in it? God, and for those of us who've already been baptized, would you remind us this morning of who we are? God, that you brought freedom, you brought forgiveness, you brought peace, and God, we have a new purpose. We live for you now. So God, remind us of that truth. Even in the moments where we don't feel it or we even tell ourselves differently, God, remind us that it really is about who you say we are. God, we need you. We love you. We pray this in your name.